Welcome to the Scriptures and Sermon podcast from St. John's Presbyterian Church in Cornwall, Ontario, Canada, for Sunday, May 12th, 2024, the seventh Sunday of Easter. Thank you for joining us, and we pray that you will feel God's presence wherever you are.
Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Enlighten the eyes of our hearts, O God, and grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation through the reading of this, your word, on this, your day. Amen.
Our first reading is from Acts 1, chapter 1 to 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. And responsive reading from Psalm 47, and the words will appear before you on the screen. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy.
For the Lord, the Most High, is awesome, a great king over all the earth.
He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet.
He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves.
God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet.
Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises.
For God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with a psalm.
God is King over the nations. God sits on his holy throne.
The princes of the people gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. And from Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put together all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
And our gospel reading for this morning is taken from the gospel according to Luke. Reading Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 53. Once more, let us listen for God's word to his people. Then Jesus spoke to them. These are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the laws of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our reading for this morning from the Acts of the Apostles leaves the disciples staring off into heaven, staring up at the glory of God. Something I think that we can all relate to. Over the past month, we've spent a good deal of time, haven't we? Standing in our yards, staring up into the heavens. First, it was to observe the solar eclipse. And in many parts of North America this weekend, people have been staring up into the heavens to observe the northern lights, observable in many places where they are not usually seen. Now, unfortunately, for those of us who live in Cornwall, we haven't had to go out and stand and stare up at heaven because it's been cloudy all weekend. And we've missed, if the pictures that you've seen on your Facebook feed are like mine, we've missed something totally spectacular. But I digress. As I was thinking about this text and the disciples standing there staring up into heaven, as we have been so often in this last little while, I was wondering, do you think that the disciples had to wear special glasses for the ascension? Do you think when they were gazing up into heaven, as Jesus left to return to his Father, did they really need these glasses to protect their eyes from the glory of God that surely was shining all about on that day? I'll take them off for a while. One might argue that they did. Think about the witness of Scripture. After all, Scripture is filled with stories of the overwhelming nature of God's glory. Think back to the book of Exodus. And in Exodus, we're told that God put Moses into the cleft of the rock so that God might pass by and so that Moses might get a glimpse, just a glimpse of God, so that he could see God's back. But the fullness of God's glory, Moses could not have seen and lived. Or at Advent time. At Advent time, we tell the story about Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist and one of the priestly caste. Zechariah, we're told in Matthew's gospel, goes into the Holy of Holies in the temple because he is the priest on duty and he must offer the sacrifice to God. And we remember how the priests entered that Holy of Holies with fear and trembling because they were drawing so near to the glory of God that they might be consumed by it. And as it turns out, Zechariah is struck mute by the God who resides on the other side of the curtain. part of my family lore is that in 1972, the then 9-year-old me put cardboard over all of the windows of the house as the last solar eclipse passed by, lest my eyes be damaged by the sun. I'm nothing if I'm not cautious. But here in this passage of Scripture, the disciples are left with their heads lifted up, gazing into heaven as Jesus ascends from their sight, and they just don't see. If you remember, though, in those days leading up to the eclipse not that long ago, scientists in the media were encouraging people not to become fixated on the sun during the time of the eclipse, but to actually look down and to look around them, to notice the darkness, to notice how things would fall silent in that moment as birds would think that it was night and they would cease their singing, to notice the planets that would appear in the sky in the middle of the day. And likewise, here in the book of Acts, the disciples had become so fixated on the ascending Jesus and this wonder that was occurring before them that they became oblivious to what was happening all around them. That's why these two sudden men in white robes return to the story. You remember the two sudden men in white robes, don't you? They were present at the tomb on the first Easter morning, and they're present here today. Anytime it seems that God intervenes into our realm, God also sends his messengers, lest we become so fixated by the inbreaking of the kingdom of God all around us that we fail to recognize the significance of these events for our own lives. During these 40 days between Easter and Ascension, Jesus has been reunited with his disciples, and he has continued to teach them about the kingdom of God and what the full significance of his life and death had been. But with the ascension, the torch is passed. With Jesus removed from human history once more, it falls upon the disciples to proclaim the good news. Rather than being distracted by the eruption of God's glory above them, these two sudden men in white garments once more turn the focus of the disciples back and into the world around them. And the world will be equally as surprising as the glory of heaven above them. As we come together this morning celebrating the feast of the Ascension, we are reminded of the church's mission into the world. Jesus' last words to his disciples were these: "It's not for you to know about the times and the seasons when the kingdom of heaven will return, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the world." Over the past several weeks, we've been reading from the Acts of the Apostles, and we've been hearing what that ministry of the apostles would look like. As the disciples encountered a diverse and surprising groups of people, we heard the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. We heard the story of Peter's meeting and conversion of Cornelius the Roman centurion. We've heard how the disciples have been led to proclaim God's good news to people who many would have believed were outside of the covenant, foreigners to God's grace. And yet Jesus sends his disciples out to Samaria, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. And they will encounter surprising people along the way. People who many thought were not entitled to know God's grace. But God sent Christ to save the whole world. And Jesus sends us to be a people of love and a people of hope and a people of inclusion to all who will come and hear this wonderful story. In a world that's marked with division, where even politics seems to have become an all-or-nothing proposition rather than an open sharing of ideas, we're reminded again and again that no one exists outside the circle of God's grace. The American novelist Flannery O'Connor wrote a short story entitled Revelation. It was part of a book study that I did a number of years ago, a Bible study made up of pieces of literature. And in her short story, Revelation, it's set in difficult times. It's set in the racially divided American South some decades ago. And its central character is a woman named Mrs. Turpin. We never do learn her first name. But Mrs. Turpin is, well, she's a less than attractive Southern woman. She judges everyone. The story starts with her in the doctor's office judging all of the people sitting in the waiting room and ends with her judging the farm workers on their farm at home. And yet, she is surprised by the joy of the black farm workers that pick her cotton. They always seem to be happy, and at first in her judging way, she thinks that it is nothing more than that they are too simple to know any better. But the story closes with a revelation, a vision. Mrs. Turpin stood there, her gaze fixed on the highway, all of her muscles rigid, until in 5 or 6 minutes the truck reappeared, returning. She waited until it had time to turn into her own road, and then, like a monumental statue come to life, she bent her head slowly and gazed, as if through the very heart of mystery, down into the pig parlor at the Hogs. They had settled all in one corner around the old sow who was grunting softly. A red glow suffused them. They appeared to pant with a secret life. Until the sun slipped finally behind the tree line, Mrs. Turpin remained there with her gaze bent to them as if she were absorbing some abysmal, life-giving knowledge. At last, she lifted her head. There was only a purple streak in the sky, cutting through a field of crimson and leading like an extension of the highway into the descending dusk. She raised her hands from the side of the pen in a gesture hieratic and profound. A visionary light settled in her eyes. She saw the streak as a vast swinging bridge extending upward from the earth through a field of living fire. Upon it, a vast horde of souls were rumbling toward heaven. There were whole companies of white trash and battalions of freaks and lunatics shouting and clapping and leaping like frogs. And bringing up the end of the procession was a tribe of people who she recognized at once as those who, like herself and Claude, had always had a little of everything and the God-given wit to use it right. She leaned forward to observe them closer. They were marching behind these others with great dignity, accountable, as they always have been, for good order and common sense and respectable behavior. They alone were on key. Yet she could see by their shocked and altered faces that even their virtues were being burned away. She lowered her hands and gripped the rails of the hog pen, her eyes small but fixed unblinkingly on what lay ahead. In a moment, the vision faded, but she remained where she was, immobile. At length, she got down and turned off the faucet and made her slow way on the darkening path to the house. In the woods around her, the invisible cricket chorus had struck up, but what she heard were the voices of the souls climbing upward into the starry field and shouting, "Alleluia." Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking up toward heaven? The wonder of God's kingdom and all its glory is here, is all around us. So let us go forth and let us praise the Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Scriptures and Sermon podcast from St. John's Presbyterian Church in Cornwall, Ontario, Canada. If you haven't already, please don't forget to subscribe so you can get new episodes each week. Be sure to check out our website, stjohnscornwall.ca, where you can find links to our social media pages and more information on our ministry. Until next time, God bless.